Okay, we're still kind of wrapping up the Abrahamic covenant, and there's seven talks. I'm not going to go back through theirs, but hopefully at this point in time, the last one we did, excuse me, was on faith and patience. How do you inherit the promises? I went through a litany of different things of walking out a process. But I want to do at least one, maybe one more, but at least one on some practical things that as I built a couple businesses that I've lived a 35 years, married 37 of them, have two children, one's almost 25, the other one's 20. So I've lived a little bit of life and I've seen these practical things that you can kind of apply in your life, if you will. To actually go after the promises that you see that you're not getting at this point in time, or the dreams and desires and destinies that you know are locked up on the inside of you by you digging them out. The number one thing I want you to get is that whatever you focus on, you're going to get more of. And this is important because I would say every day that you get up in the world system, the majority of what you see is either negative are not empowering. So therefore, very little of it gives life back to you because the world system is really reflecting the either the negative attitudes or the things that are going on that you see around you. And it seems that, bad news is what gets people's attention. So that's what people talk about. So whatever you focus on, you're going to get more of. Jacob in chapter 30 of Genesis verses around 35 to 43, he actually took these popular rods, stripped them, and made stripes out of them, and he jammed them into the ground. And he basically took the animals that were the strongest, and when they came to drink and mate, they looked at those rods, and they ended up having babies that actually were striped and spotted. I don't remember the whole story, but you can read it. But the interesting thing about it is the most two intense emotions that you have as a human is survival. They had to drink and eat to live, right? These animals. And then number two, they had reproduction. They had intercourse to reproduce their like kind. These are two of the most intense emotions that you can have as a human. So what I want you to get as, whatever you focus on, more of that's going to come to you. Okay. The Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3 to set your affections on things that are above. That means we should be focusing on the kingdom and the things that are good, right, lovely, of just report, pure, things that will empower us, basically. And when the negativity comes up, we should cast it down, casting down any imagination or thought that tries to exalt itself above that which is right according to Christ's standard in the Word of God. So, what I want you to kind of come together here is the we could talk about this for a long time, a whole talk on focus, because I could cover several points. But the more you focus on something with great intensity, the quicker it comes in your life. If you are in fear all the time and you focus on things that make you afraid, more things are going to come in your life that make you afraid. That's just the way it works. But if you focus on the destiny, the things that are burning on the inside of you, and you ramp up the intensity by every time you think about it, you say, wow, you have a you almost have like, wow, that's going to be great when I step into that. I'm believing to step in that. You actually induce a higher level of intensity with your own emotional state. Guess what? Your mind not only will start focusing on it more, because it does what you tell it to do, your brain, but it will actually start drawing it to you. This is just the way it is. And you will keep reproducing what you're focusing on with a high level of intensity. And that's the caveat I put in there. You want to intensify the emotions when you're focusing on the positive things that are in your destiny, in your dreams, that you're dreaming with God and you're walking out your process. You want to somehow, and I don't know how you do it for you, but you want to somehow empower that emotion of life when you think about that thing, whatever it is that's coming out of you that you're dreaming with God about. The second thing that I want to hit is learning how to live in an empowered state. And realizing that there's only two states that you can live in. In other words, there's just like there's only light and darkness in the earth. That's the only two options. Well, there's only two options in the state you can live in. One of them is called empowerment, which I believe is from the Creator and from the Lord Himself and is kingdom at nature, because Jesus said, I'm come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. So that's the foundation of that. And then there's one that's disempowered. And the disempowered state comes from us focusing on the negative things and the things that are not happening in our life, the destiny that's not unpacked in our life, the thoughts that the enemy are throwing at us are the world, and us focusing on that, and we end up in a disempowered state, disengaged. So those are the two options. And I'd like to tell you that I live in an empowered state 24/7 all the time. I'm juiced, I'm pumped up, I've lived enough life to figure out how to overcome it. But I'll just say it this way. I would say that if you could learn how to live in an empowered state 80 to 90% of the time, the 80-20 rule is probably a good rule here, but you'd love to be more than 80. But 80 to 90% of the time, if you can just stay engaged in an empowered state, you're going to have a successful life. You're going to find the things the Lord has for you. You're going to be able to unpack your destiny. You're not going to always live. You're going to have some things that trip you up, just like we all do. We all have our own idiosyncrasies and pet peeves that seem to trip us up and get us into molly grubs, and whatever yours are, they are. I have my set just like you do. And so just learn that if once you find yourself, and then this is really what I want to key in on, when you find yourself in a disempowered state, just change it, okay? So, and I want you to understand how to see, you know, sometimes we don't even know that we're in one. You know, if you're empowered, you walk a little faster. You stand up a little straighter. You're a little more excited about life, whatever that is for your personality type. It might not be excited like me. You might be, you're excited like you, but still you're vibrating with some excitement. You are, you know, you're more engaged. You're more kind of on, let's get it done. When you're in a disempowered state, it's just opposite of that. You're slumped over. You're like maybe not breathing deep enough. You have to catch these things, because a lot of times your body will tell you when you're in a disempowered state. And if you learn to just kind of measure that, then you can catch it quicker and you won't stay in that state for days. You might just stay in it for a few hours or a day or two, and then you're back in the game. So hopefully that's enough. There's a study out there on body language. If you want to go deeper, you can get that study, because I think it's communication through body language. I think it would be a benefit to kind of understand this a little bit more. I'm just kind of hitting these at high level so you can know some practical things that you can step into to pursue what belongs to you. Number three, the Word of God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. People, you have to, as you go after your destiny and your dreams and your desires, you have to gain the proper knowing, knowledge, and understanding to step into that. And so if you don't gain that, you won't actually embrace the dream and the destiny. So knowledge comes from you studying the Word, knowing what God is, or at least attempting to know what the Lord is trying to unpack out of you, and then finding the things in the world around you that can educate you and make you better so you can step into that. Just like if you're going to be a doctor, you've got to go take the 8 years of school to become a doctor. You just don't go and decide, I'm going to be a doctor, and you can start operating tomorrow. There's a process of knowledge gained. And so in your dreams and destiny and your gift set, even though it's in you, there's a knowledge in the world sometimes that you have to gain in order to achieve that. You know, it just the doctor metaphor is good. Veterinarian, same way. They spend 6-7 years in school before they become a veterinarian. So maybe yours isn't a schooling, but it's more of the school of hard knocks and living life, and that's fine. But you still have to gain knowledge through the things outside of you that you don't know in order to apply you to what you're trying to accomplish. And this one is kind of a part B to this number, but it's my people are destroyed for a lack of vision. when Proverbs 29:18 says that when people don't have vision, they throw off restraint. And vision is just a view of you are moving forward. You are going to find and dig out what's inside of you, and you're going to find what the Father put there, and you're going to go after it, and you keep envisioning your life at that level. And it would be the Dreaming with God book is another good one, because some of that's hit in this book about having vision. But if you don't have vision and you don't get knowledge, you are not going to be able to step into the fullness of your destiny. And that's really the key, because I want you to get that these are just some of the hot, I could probably come up with 15 to 20 things that over my lifetime in building businesses and doing life and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. Lots of them, but these are kind of the top maybe 7 or 8 or 9 that we're going to hit. So you can actually have some sort of measurement to see, am I actually inheriting the promise? Am I actually moving in the direction where I can, whatever the promises are you're going after? The next one would be, I want you to begin to dream. I know we've talked about this, but I want you to begin to dream and think about what life's going to be like as you walk in your God-given destiny, and as you walk out your purposes and your callings. I want you to begin to meditate and think into your own soul, and write some things down if you want to. I would, that you can meditate on maybe some of your dreams or some of the things you think God's called you to do and some of those things. But I want you to begin to think about it, meditate on it, and wow, that's awesome that I'm made for this. And I'm stepping into it now by faith, and I'm doing the things that I need to do to get that inheritance. Proverbs it's in chapter 18, says that desire realized is like a tree of life, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you start meditating on the desires that you want to realize, and you start pursuing them with action and going after them, then you will be a fully engaged, fully alive person. The dreaming piece has to be done. And look, I've heard people say, you got to write 100 dreams, you got to write this. You do what's right for you. I mean, some people, that's too much for them. I mean, I don't know that it's necessary that you have this big dream list, although I do have one. And I had a bigger one about 6 or 7 years ago, and a lot of them have come to pass. And I just recently revisited the list to write some more down and reevaluate some of the ones that wasn't probably really dreams anyways. So, and I took some off, because your life changes. What you want changes. You might think some of the things you want now, when you get them or you get close to getting them, you're like, man, I don't know if I really want that, but you're able to get it. So that's the empowerment piece. Faith without works is dead. Look, here's the deal. The only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary, okay? So I have a whole talk called The Silver Bullet, and I have a chapter in my book on sales that basically says the secret is W-O-R-K. You got to roll your sleeves up, and you got to work your butt off, and you got to apply yourself, and you've got to give what you can give to the destiny you see in front of you. And I'm going to give you just a little bit. I have this thing that I developed, and I kind of call it the cellular comprehension circle, basically. And I want to give you some practical, and I'm going to go through this quickly because I've got one more thing I want to hit at the end, and this will wrap up this series. I call it cellular comprehension. And basically, I drew a box, a square, and at the top left corner, it starts with instruction. See, without instruction, you getting instruction as you see destiny in front of you, it's the same thing as getting knowledge. You have to get instruction to start. You got to know. In other words, if you're going from Raleigh to Greensboro, you need some instructions of where you're going so you don't go the wrong way. Okay, and that's the way I look at instruction. As you get instruction and you start moving in the instruction, what happens is go over to the far to the right corner of the box. You start gaining experience. And this experience actually gives you feedback, and then you make adjustment. But the experience piece comes from being able to take the instruction and apply yourself. And then as you go down to the bottom right corner of the box, you develop understanding through the experience you had with whatever you learned from the instructions. If it's building a house and you built your own house yourself, you had the instructions, you applied it, you gained an experience, you got the feedback of the failure when you didn't put the things in right, and you also got the feedback of the success when it worked right. Then through that experience, you gained understanding of how the pieces of the 2x4s and all the things were put together to build the house. And that's the bottom right. And I have a whole teaching on this, so I'm just going to hit the high points so you, and you can draw it out like this. That's why I'm telling you it's in a box form. And then if you go to the far left corner of the box, the word assimilation is there. And so what happens is if you go to the top again and go instruction, experience, down to understanding, and then you actually assimilate. See, assimilation is when you get the knowledge at a cellular level where it becomes second nature. Now when you go to build a house that you've already built 10 just like that one, you don't think, you do. There's a book I have that's about athletes. It says those that do think and those that think don't do. In other words, you want your reactions fast enough so at a subconscious level as a professional athlete, you're not thinking about it. It's second nature. So when assimilation happens, any particular subject that you got instruction, experience, and developed understanding for, the assimilation piece is when it becomes cellular and it becomes second nature. And most of the stuff you're doing, you do without actual natural thought, if you will. And then what I do is I take an arrow at the bottom left corner and I go into the box and I draw a circle. And what happens is in that big circle, you start taking actions at a higher level. See, once you assimilate knowledge, you actually do things at a higher level because the actions you take get greater results because you've already worked through the process of instruction, experience, understanding, and it's been assimilated. So now you're taking master level actions and you're getting greater feedback when you're still going to make some mistakes and fail, and you make adjustments quicker, and then you get ultimate results is what I'd like to call around the circle. That's, I've got the circle, action, feedback, and results. And then in the very center, there's a second circle that calls destination or your destiny, your dreams, where you're going. And this is what I call the cellular comprehension block. And it basically just gives you somewhat of a metaphoric way to look at how to walk out some of these things I'm talking about so that you don't, you know, if this is too much information for you, just throw it away. Just take the things you can use. Because here's the thing, you don't need hours of teaching. You just need to know that you are a son of Abraham and a son of God and the inheritance is yours and how do I go get it? That's really what you need to know. We can cut to the chase and say that. But so much of this I've built because I want people to know who they are and have enough scripture and enough layers so that they can actually believe it. Not because I said it, but because it's in the Word and because it's taught line upon line. And so this is faith without works is dead. If you don't go do something, nothing happens. But I can tell you this, if you go through the process of the cellular comprehension block and you learn and you've assimilated things, you will take action at a master level, you will get feedback at a master level, and you will get results at a master level. That's the reason it's the circle inside the box, because the box on the outer corners is where all the work is done to make you a master at what you're going after, so to speak. And then the last one I want to hit is the parable of the talents. It's in Matthew chapter 25. You can read it. And it goes right along with faith without works is dead. Here's the deal. God gave you talents according to your own ability. And that's what it says in Matthew 25. I think it's around 13 or 14, 15th verse. He gave the talents to, he gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to 1. And it says it was according to their own ability. So look, God has given you dreams, destiny. He's giving you things that he wants to do with you, building the kingdom with you. The kingdom is a family business is the way I look at it. Now I'm in the business with the Father and so, and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit following him. And so what happens here is that he wants to do life with you as a son and daughter. And he wants to inherit, he wants you, because he wants to inherit nations, because we're going to give them to Jesus, because Jesus is the desire of all nations, right? And so what happens is as you walk this process out of being a son, he is empowering you, or a daughter, to actually live a full-on, fully free, fully alive life. And this is what the kingdom is. And it's like, I just, if I could just come through the mic right now and grab you and just say, look, get it, you know, because there's so much life to be lived, and it's good because the Father's good. He's in a good mood, and he likes you and loves you. And he wants you to step into dreams and destinies like you never thought you could, but they're already in you. And I won't go through the other talks. And this is where we're going to end the series. I wanted to give some practical things, because people always ask me, how do you do it? Look, let me just give you some insight. How to do something is so overrated when you're following God. I'm just telling you the truth. Most of what I've learned, I have fell into accidentally, because I've just followed the Holy Spirit, and I have a mentor named Lance Wallnau who told me, you know, hey, you just pray in tongues and you act like you know what you're doing. And, you know, I know that's hard for some personality types. If you're listening to this and you're a C, you're like, I can't do life like that. Well, look, I'm a D. I can't do life like that either. But I've learned that the Father always knows best. And if I'll do my part to prepare, see, I'm not doing anything, but I am preparing. I'm working my talents as unto the Lord. I'm stepping out in the works that I know to do. I'm going after the destiny that I know is inside of me. And as I do that, suddenly a little shift in my journey goes left and I just follow. That's what I'm talking about. Look, you can create more wealth and walk in more of your destiny by just following the highlights of the Father than you can studying every book in the Bible hundreds of times. And I'm not saying not to study, to show yourself approved. I believe in study. But what I'm saying is that the highlights of the Lord is when the Holy Spirit makes that shift and shoots you into a direction that saves you 1,000 days. Look, one day with the Lord is worth 1,000 elsewhere, is what I think's in Psalms. But here's the deal. God can make one shift in your life and meet one person. And I've had this happen with lots of deals in two businesses that I ran that were really successful, that suddenly this deal changed the whole complexity of my company. I had one meeting. I'll just end here. I had one meeting in 1998 with a gentleman that subbed me a job that we needed to actually save our company from going down, because sales were down so bad. And that job ended up propelling us to the most profitable year that we'd ever had in the history of our company. And we also bought a house and moved to Raleigh that same year. And we found out that spring of 98 that Cindy was pregnant with our second child, which was actually born in 1999 in Raleigh where we moved. But here's the thing. When I met this guy, we were in kind of a little dysfunctional state with our business because we didn't have enough sales, and that was my fault. So anyways, I won't go through that story. But what happened was he planted a seed in me in that meeting that we first met. And then we did that job for him, and it was really successful, and things really started exploding. But the seed he planted created, I had thought, wow, I want to do that. It was creating a whole nother business basically within the company I was running. It was connected. It was the same kind of, it was in the same genre, but it was a different type of thing. And so within 3 years, from 1998 to 2000, well, it's probably 2001, so three to four years, we built another multi-million dollar business that we didn't even conceive to have in 1998 in 3.5 years because of one something this guy said that sparked something in me saying, we need to do that. And I just went after it. But that's how it happened. And so this is what I'm saying. That's one God moment. We've had several of them, but I want you to realize, don't miss the God moments thinking that you can work hard enough, because I'm into work and I'm into studying. I'm into applying yourself and I'm into taking action. Because look, if you don't take action, nothing happens. Zero times zero is zero. But you got to follow the Holy Spirit, and when he highlights, go with the highlight. No matter what you've learned, no matter what you think about it, no matter what kind of instruction you've got, experience, understanding, similar, you better follow the Holy Spirit. He knows best, okay? So we'll end there, and I hope this has really been, informational to you to change your life. And I'm hoping it's transforming you into the kingdom man or woman that God has called you to be. And I tell you what, the Father, he's in a good mood, and he cares more about you, and he cares more about what you care about than you care about it. And I want to leave that thought finally in your mind here at the last moment of this talk. And I hope to see you in the future. But I want you to live full on, fully alive, and live free.